This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Last year in Bexar County, 5,846 children were documented as abused or neglected. The city has the highest rate of abuse in the state. Houston's Harris County ranks first, but Bexar has only 83 fewer incidents with a child population of less than half of that of Harris County. In addition, kids in Bexar County are more often abused, and even after Child Protective Services gets involved, these numbers raise lots of questions. Number one is why, in a city that has half as many kids as in Harris County, we're seeing that number, that level of abuse. This question should be on everyone's lips as we prepare to enter into April, which is Child Abuse Prevention Month. And our guest this half hour is James Castro. He's the executive director of the St. Peter's, St. Joseph's Children's Home, which serves victims of abuse and neglect. Kim Abernathy, she's the CEO of Child Safe. And Kathy Siegel, she's the development director of Child Safe. We ask you to join the conversation. Give us a call. Tell us what you think about what's happening about child abuse in San Antonio. Our number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You can email us at The Source with your questions and comments, thesource@tpr.org. So Kim Abernathy, CEO of Child Safe, welcome back to The Source, Kim.
Thank you, David.
So we're seeing numbers in Bexar County. We saw 10 deaths in the past fiscal year of child abuse. That's the lowest since 2008. That's 10 deaths, but that's
10 too many.
10 too many, but a vast reduction from the previous year. Tell me about that.
Yes. Well, I mean, I can't tell you about that too much because I'm not exactly sure why that is. We don't do a lot of work with the deaths, with the CPS and the deaths and the hospitals and those.
But there is, you're dealing with the abused children, mm-hmm. and the neglected children,
right.
And Child Safe. And so tell me about your role in dealing with those.
Well, we're the only children's advocacy center in Bexar County. And it's our role to work with law enforcement, child protective services workers, the district attorney, to move a case along. That's kind of part of our role. And we coordinate that. And we have forensic interviewers so that the child only has to tell their story one time. Once a child, either they've made indications that they want to make an outcry or somebody feels or something is seen, then we'll get a referral from law enforcement or child protective services. The child would come in and do a taped forensic interview. And that's so the child only has to tell the story once, because it's very traumatic to tell these stories, of course. And then we work to coordinate the case as it moves forward. But then we also provide support and services for the child and for the family. We work with the non-offending family members because we really believe that it's a whole family. The child is the focus, but you can't get the child better without the family.
James Castro over at St. PJ's, tell us, for people who don't know St. PJ's, tell us about that.
Sure. St. Peter, St. Joseph Children's Home has been around about 130 years. We were founded by the Sisters of Charity of Incarnate Word when they arrived in San Antonio back in 1869 to found Christus Santa Rosa Infirmary. And naturally back then when people passed away, the sisters embraced now these new orphans and they took care of children. So we started out as an orphanage, and then in the late 60s, as the state started regulating children's homes, we transitioned into a not-for-profit, and we also transitioned in caring for abused and neglected children. At that time, as a separate not-for-profit, we had contracts with Department of Family and Protective Services. And so today, we have a campus of 140 beds where we are contracted to provide emergency shelter services as well as long-term residential services, adoption services, foster families for children from newborns all the way up to 18, 19 years old.
Newborns all the way up to 18, 19
That's right.
years old. That's a huge but caring for a newborn is so much work. How do you manage? How many newborns would you have there at any given time?
Sure. Well, we have an emergency shelter for children of 20 beds. And so we can care for newborns to infants, I say, up to 8 at a time. And then you get your two-year-olds, three-year-olds, four-year-olds in there as well. And when I say newborns, how that comes about is, unfortunately, when children are removed, they're often not by themselves. They're attached to a sibling group. So Child Protective Services may have already removed a 18-month-old, a three-year-old from the home, and then that mother is in the hospital, has another baby, and Child Protective Services will take that baby straight from the hospital and bring to us. They will not leave that child with the mother since there's already an investigation going on with her other children.
I imagine you have a lot of volunteers that come in to help you with those little children?
Absolutely. I mean, it's necessary. When you have 140 beds on your campus from that age spread that I talked about, we have a lot going on. We have a 20-acre campus. We're up to about 180 staff because you have to staff this campus 24/7 to care for that many children at a time. And naturally, you have housekeepers and you have maintenance and food service and all of those things necessary to provide a great environment for these children.
Do people come in to rock the newborns?
Well, it's a little bit more complicated than that. Child Protective Services, obviously, they want to assure that we provide a safe environment. So anybody who is a direct volunteer with the children have to go through a background check as well as FBI background checks because we want to make sure that we don't expose these kids to any more harm. So yeah. There is a little process involved.
So they go through the process, but, I mean, we know that little newborn, they need human contact. You don't want that disassociation complex when they get older.
Absolutely. And actually, and Kim and Kathy can probably speak to this too, that's where the system has made tremendous progress in understanding what it takes to address a child who's been through abuse and neglect. In the old days, we used to think, oh, don't get too attached. Don't get too attached because they're going to move somewhere else. Well, that was the opposite thing to do. Today, we want to become more involved. We want to be more hands-on. You need to be more nurturing. Because of all the child developmental stuff going on, you need to address the abuse and neglect right away. And that means loving, caring, nurturing support. And there's a lot of in-betweens what that means. So that's what we do at St. PJ's along with other places like ChildSafe.
Right. So, Kim, how closely do you work with St. PJ's?
Well, James and I work on the Blue Ribbon Task Force together. We're in a different phase of CPS involvement than St. PJ's. We're at the front end, so often this is when CPS is originally becoming involved with a family. And we don't really – we do see some children in foster care or in other homes, but not as many because these kids are either still with the protective parent or with a grandparent or may still be in the family as they're working through the case to see if they have a civil case. They have to have a civil case and a legal case, the civil case for Child Protective Services and a legal case for law enforcement to move ahead with prosecution. So it's kind of different. I think we all work together because we're doing the same kind of thing. We do trainings together. As James talks about, we are trauma-focused.
Right, and we're going to talk more about that. We're going to take a quick break. We're talking about Child Abuse Prevention Month, which is in April. There's lots of events coming up. We're going to be talking about that in just a minute. We want to hear your questions and comments. Give us a call. The number is 614-8980. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about child abuse in San Antonio, and April is Child Abuse Prevention Month. With me in the studio, Kim Abernathy. She's the CEO of ChildSafe, and Kathy Siegel. She is the Development Director for ChildSafe. Also here, James Castro, Executive Director for St. PJ's. And we want you on the phone to give us a call if you get a question or a comment. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. So, Kathy, you have in April all these events coming up for Child Abuse Prevention Month, and there's this cardboard cutout project. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it's called Cardboard Kids. We created 5,846 cardboard kids, one for every confirmed child victim of abuse in 2013 in Bexar County. And we have over 90 community partners out there decorating these unique cardboard kids, 2 feet tall, And the plan is that on April 3rd, that one morning, we want all 5,846 of these cardboard kids to hit the streets in San Antonio. We want them on park benches and in swings and in coffee shops and in the pew at church and wherever you can think of to leave them, because there's information on this cardboard kid that will take you to a website, will teach you more about child abuse. We want the power of social media. We want the collective voice, because that's what's going to make a change in this community.
So each one of these cardboard cutouts, it is like the it represents an actual individual.
That's right.
Okay, you've got one in front of yours, and it's like a little girl with pigtails and dressed up, and it's so. Tell me about that one.
So this was created by a partner in the community who brought it back to us for us to place in the community. And in fact, I'm going to leave it with you so that you can do the big thing on April 3rd. But this doll's name is Jessica. And she says, I'd love to get to know you. And when someone finds one of these cardboard kids sitting somewhere in this community that morning, they can scan the QR code. They can go to the website. We hope that they'll post a picture of that cardboard kid that they found and share the message. Imagine the impact of 5,846 cardboard kids all over town. And then by, you know, power of that voice and power of seeing that cardboard kid, all the people that will get the message.
So Kim Abernathy, CEO of ChildSafe, what is the message? What do you think this is going to convey to people in San Antonio?
Well, what we want to do is bring awareness to the issue of child abuse. I mean, you know, we've talked about
awareness
of how serious,
how big it is.
Yes, how serious the problem is in San Antonio. And if we want to, you know, San Antonio is a great city, but this is not a good top thing that we want to have. And we want people to, we want the community to embrace it and say, you know, we're not going to take this anymore. We're going to do the things that we need to do to reduce the number of kids that are being abused. And so for us, it's all about awareness and prevention, because people don't want to talk about this. This is uncomfortable.
We had a question called in. He didn't want to go on the air, but Thomas said, when observing abuse in public, what is the best course of action?
Well, you can see if there's a way for you to get a license plate, or the problem is you can't always identify who the people are unless you go up and ask them, and that's not usually possible.
But does that happen? Do people say, I'm watching this at the Walmart parking lot and I can't believe it?
I'm sure it does. I mean, there's a CPS hotline and there's a hotline, so I'm guessing they get lots of calls like that. If you do suspect it, then call them or call the police.
You know, on the moment, that's a great question, though. On the moment, as we know, is so crucial. And it's difficult. You know, none of us, we're going to live in a society. We don't want to judge others and get in other people's business and that sort of stuff. However, there was a day when the neighbor, you could hear him yelling maybe in their family or something like that. And the neighbor would walk next door and say, hey, what's going on? Can I help? Is there a problem over here? You know, that little intervention sometimes is what makes a difference. I saw on one of the just flipping through channels, and it became a big news story that there was a child. They did a reenactment of a child being abducted, and it made it to the news because one out of 20 people actually intervened for this child being abducted. And so I think the point that you're asking is, how can we be more sensitive and attuned and being aware of those incidences that we set? You know, you can tell it feels yucky when you see a child being mistreated. And just that one individual, and you don't have to, you know, get in anybody's face. You stand 3 or 4 feet away, and you just, can I help? Is there a problem? Is there something I can do? And they may cuss you out. They may say it's none of your business, but you can say, well, I heard, and it looked like a child was in distress, so that's why I'm just kind of asking. I think that, and if there used to be, and I believe there still is in Texas, a Good Samaritan law that has to do with, you know, you seeing a victim on the side of the road from a car accident, we protect those kind of folks. Maybe we need a law related to this kind of issue as well. The Good Samaritan law extends to these kind of situations. I'm sure we have a lot of smart folks out there who knows how to make that happen too.
And so, Kathy, who is the number one reporter of child abuse? So who sees these things and calls the authorities?
The teachers on the Child Protective Service line, teachers, which is why it's so important for teachers to be educated. There's a law in Texas called Jenna's Law, which requires everyone that works with a school district, whether it be bus driver, cafeteria worker, teacher, counselor, they all every year must receive training in recognizing and reporting abuse. We do a lot of that in ChildSafe. We work with 14 school districts for their employees.
And you're training them. You're training them to what? To look for what?
Yes, it's really kind of a basic course on what to look for and then how to report it. Because by law, you are mandated to report abuse.
Well, are they looking for bruises or broken arms?
Or signs of children being withdrawn.
What about when they write their papers and they write something that I'm afraid to go home?
Yes. But, you know,
and they can go to authorities with that.
Yes.
And then the authorities will do what?
Well, it's investigated. Once it goes to Child Protective Services, they can either call the police department or Child Protective Services. Whichever one they call, the other one will be contacted by Child Protective Services. Right.
And there is a CPS hotline, and we're going to have that phone number on our website at tpr.org. And so one of the interesting or the very discouraging statistics that we're finding here is that that Bexar County is number one for kids re-victimized. So, Kim, what is re-victimized?
Well, that means a child is abused once, and then they may come back in. There may be a call. We know that a third of all children that are that make an outcry will be re-victimized again.
So the child is victimized, and then they call in CPS, and then it happens again. That's re-victimized.
Yes. Yeah. And it may happen. It may happen a year or two down the line. CPS may become involved. Things may do better with the family.
Ideally, what should have happened? That the family realized not to do this anymore, or remove the child, or what is the alternative?
Well, to your point, the re-victimization rate, what that means is over a five-year period of time, if an open case, if Child Protective Services opened a case, within 5 years, that case had to be readdressed or reopened. That's the re-victimization. So what could have been done? I think, and we've talked about this before in many venues, and Child Protective Services has participated in these conversations because they want better results and better outcomes too. And so we're asking ourselves, okay, what do we need to do beyond what we're already doing to help these families be successful when we bring these children back into the home? And so that's one of the big pieces we're making great progress on. You're having organizations like both of ours become more involved with the families. We're getting more active with the schools, with the families. I'm hopeful and I trust that hopefully within the next 12 months we'll start to see a turn on that number. It takes a generation. One of the sad things about abuse and neglect, 64% of all abusers were abused themselves. So what does that say? That says we never healed the children from the abuse and neglect. We may have got them in a safe place or helped them cope while they were still in school, but ultimately we didn't heal them because obviously the data shows they end up becoming abusers, victimizers themselves. So we got to get better at healing the children, and that's something this community is doing really well at. That's where ChildSafe is making a big difference as they enhance their training programs, not only for the child welfare system itself, but as they branch out to other providers that serve kids in other settings too. Those are the kind of efforts we need to make a difference.
One of the things that we know from research is when a child suffers a trauma like that, the sooner they can receive care that deals with that trauma, the better likely they are to be to heal.
To have recovery.
So the biggest thing about awareness is if we can get those children as quickly, as soon as they've been abused, because right now the average is 2 years. A child, it's from the time the abuse starts to the child makes an outcry, the average is about 2 years. So you've got a child suffering from trauma for 2 years. So if people are more aware and they're reporting and families know the signs to look for or how to protect their children.
And to, And I'm sorry to cut you off, Kim, that's but okay. To that point too, so let's think about it. If somebody gets in a car accident, they're taken to the emergency room right away. All these specialists come to the aid of that individual. The treatment team identifies what the problem is. They put a plan together and they act on that plan. We need to have the same kind of response for the mental trauma abuse of the child as well. How do we begin that healing ASAP? And let's not, because the child's been through an accident, quote, for 2 years, okay? We need to have the same urgency for the physical well-being that the system has for their mental health, emotional, psychological well-being too. That will begin the healing right away.
And so, Kim, you have events coming up in April to help publicize or educate the public. What are you doing?
Well, we are doing our Cardboard for Kids. We also have a membership drive that will be going on two of the television stations in the mornings and in the evening. There's quite a few events across the community that pulls all the providers of services for children, from CPS to St. PJ's, all of us that work with kids. And, you know, James, I know that we do something. I don't know if it's on...
The
courthouse thing is probably first.
That's April 1st. April 1st, there will be a press conference, I believe, at the courthouse at 10 a.m.
And don't you have a town hall meeting on April 1st?
We sure do, at the same time. April 1st at 7:30 p.m. there at Texas A&M University San Antonio campus, their main building, we will have a public forum. Town hall style meeting where we'll put out some information as well as some question and answers, and we'll put out information how folks can get involved and what they can do. We plan, this will be our first one on April 1st, and it's going to obviously be on the south side of the city, but we're going to thereafter, we're going to have one every quarter, and we're going to start going all the way around the city so we can get in a different quadrant throughout the year, and we're going to keep that momentum going. So besides efforts like this to be on your show, Dave, we will keep this going throughout the year, and therefore we'll get some momentum to make a difference.
So do you think that this public awareness, making people know what the signs are and what can be done about it, this is your biggest asset in trying to move forward?
Absolutely. And getting people talking about it. I think that's the biggest thing is this is a difficult subject to talk about. And so we need to get people talking about it to save the children.
All right. April, Child Abuse Prevention Month. Lots of events coming up. You can go to our website. We've got them listed, tpr.org. You can also go to ChildSafe and look at their website. I want to thank our guest, James Castro, Executive Director of St. PJ's, Kim Abernathy, CEO of ChildSafe, and Kathy Siegel, Development Director of ChildSafe. Coming up after the news break, we're going to be talking about tuberculosis. It's back, and it's more powerful than ever. Stay tuned.